Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
I was amazed to read this past week that the most Christian nation by the year 2030, that's a little over 15 years from now, and this is from a leading expert on religion who teaches at Purdue University, professor at Purdue University, the most Christian nation on the face of the earth by the year 2030 will be China. Not the nation free from religious persecution, not the nation with church buildings on every corner, not the nation free to tell the story any way we want to tell it, rather a country where most of the people are forced to meet underground. There is an officially recognized church, but most of the Christians in China have to meet underground. Not so unlike New Testament churches towards the end of the first century. We are seeing there in China God's principle of growth in action, where one seed produces much fruit, many heads of grain from one seed. That's God's principle of growth. God's principle of growth is not one seed produces one seed. God's principle of growth is one seed produces many heads of grain, or many apples, or many oranges. That's how God's kingdom is to grow. And that's what we see in China is, and maybe because of persecution, as in the New Testament, commitment produces many Christians. Well, no one reading the New Testament, even for the first time, could overlook Jesus' intent for those who claim to follow him. We see it in the early chapters of Acts. Jesus intended for those who claim to follow him to tell the story of his resurrection as a way of life. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And they were obedient to that. And there came a time in the history of the church during the writing of what we know as the New Testament, when it could be said that the world was turned upside down by the message of the cross. And the Roman government, who first saw Christianity as just a little sect of Judaism, began to take notice as the article on the Christian movement in China indicated the communist government of China is beginning to take notice of Christianity. And they will start yielding to Christianity. Mao Zedong said, "We will crush all religion." But like a tiny seed that will move concrete, Christianity will move communism. we will be witnesses to history. And many living now on this earth will be witnesses to the power of the cross in a way that we never thought possible. Now, if that doesn't move you, I don't know what will. But at the same time, we have to be disappointed in the United States of America becoming more and more secular and losing our place as the most Christian nation on earth and shrugging off the power of the cross. Here's an interesting thing. Jesus said, I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. And each of the Gospels, every one of the Gospels, ends with a commission to tell the story, for God's people to tell the story as a way of life. Now, we are familiar, most familiar, with the one in Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The one in Mark is almost equally well known. Mark 16:15-16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Luke's version is hardly known at all, but it's there. Luke 24:46-48, he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And then John 20:21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, here's what's interesting. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. But our focus is on the church, the institution is what our focus is on. The bulk of our money goes there. The bulk of our energy goes there. And I realize that much is necessary and unavoidable. Yet a poll says, a Christian poll says, that less than 5% of us want to do our job. Jesus says, I will build the church. You have your job, the commission. Less than 5% of us want to do our job and do our job. We want to build the job. We want to build the church. We want to do Jesus' job. We meet, we spend money, we strategize on doing Jesus' job. There's something about the institution that we gravitate to. Maybe it's because we feel more comfortable there. We feel more comfortable going to meetings. We feel more comfortable building buildings. than we do dealing with people. People are messy. And I realize that some meetings are necessary. Strategizing is necessary. I realize that. But the almost total avoidance of telling the story is remarkable. And when we've lost to China, does that not wake us up? When they have done so much since 1976. 1976 is when Mao Zedong died, and the beginnings of Christianity, once again, slowly, the door started slowly opening up. And from 1976 to 2030, they will become the most Christian nation on the face of the earth. And we've had it here for hundreds of years. What's happening in America? Telling the story, sharing the gospel, we've lost our way. We forget that we have been saved to share. We are under obligation. We are in debt. Romans 1, 14 through 16, I am obligated, Paul says, both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, we use the word restoration. What needs restoring? Well, again, our mind goes back to the church. We need to restore the New Testament what? The New Testament church. Well, I suggest to you what needs restoring is a sense of debt, a sense of obligation. Maybe we should let the Lord restore His church, and we restore our sense of obligation and debt that we, and I include myself, that we have lost. Now, for that to happen, there needs to be regained in us a sense of the enormity of our past sin. I'm talking individually. In the quiet moments of our life, away from our meetings and strategizing about the church, we need to reflect on our past sin. I'm serious about this. Now, old revivalist preachers did that well. They made us remember to the point of tears in our eyes our past sin. Now, that's out of fashion now. And preachers want to make you feel good. They want to make you feel good. They want to put you at peace. They want to make you sleep well at night. But I want to suggest to you folks, the Bible says godly sorrow is the first step to repentance and the first step to discipleship. And we've lost that. We've lost it. Now don't misunderstand. Guilt alone will not cause us to tell the story. Not saying that. It's only the first step. What will cause us to tell the story is the realization of God's forgiveness of the ugliness of our past sin, the realization of God's forgiveness, made possible because Christ took it to the cross for us. Now, when we become convinced that our ugliest deeds were on that cross, I mean our ugliest deeds was on that cross, not generically. I mean, we need to think and remember specifically. We need to revisualize. We need to revisit that night or that day, that experience, that incident that we are most ashamed of. We need to see it on that cross. He took it there. When we become convinced it was there, when we internalize it, and because it was up on that cross, now and evermore, we stand pure before God, and we're going to live in heaven forevermore with God. Grace, though it's free, it wasn't cheap for Christ. We are forever grateful and indebted, and a new attitude takes over. And that attitude is, I can't believe He could ever forgive me. I can't believe it. And I tell you another attitude that can take over. How can I ever repay the debt I owe? I tell you, we're so caught up in this thing of no work salvation that we need a little bit of that, how can I ever repay the debt I owe? And that ought to lead us to a little bit of work. How can we ever lay back on a Sunday morning when the saints are worshiping God? How can we ever not want to be worshiping and working when we consider what He's done for me? There's no way that I can ever repay what the Lord has done for me. Well, that's what makes one a disciple. That's what makes one a worshiper. But that's what makes one a storyteller as a way of life. Well, that explains why the worst sinners, often become the greatest Christians and the most effective Christians. They see where they've been and they have a way of relating best to others who need the Lord. So let's thank the Lord for what His great mercy has done for us, and tell His story. Tell His story and what it has meant for us. Acts chapter 8 is filled with principles about telling the story. And it's a familiar story, but you may not have looked at it exactly this way. Beginning in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." The first principle I want you to see as we go out telling the story of Jesus: be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know how this works today. Quite frankly, it was different for Philip than it is for us. I know it's not dramatic or noisy, because I know that God speaks today in a very still, small voice, to use Bible language. God is so often influences us in ways that can easily be missed. We can ignore His voice. We can miss His voice. So it's not something that is very dramatic. So I'm not sure how the Holy Spirit moves us today. I'm convinced it's not Pentecostal in nature, in the sense that we will not see the tongue, a flame of fire above someone's head if God wants us to go speak to that person. And I'm personally sure that it's not a painful thing. It's not something to be dreaded, because God works in very natural ways. And it's not to something that is to be dreaded. It'll be something that will feel good. God's Spirit is sweet and wonderful. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, for instance, and it's a very neat thing. And I'm equally convinced that it's better known as we look back. We'll likely say, you know, that was God working. God opened up that door. God provided that opportunity. It's kind of hard sometimes to know at the moment that God was opening that door. It's better as we look back on it. I just think we need to pray that we'll be available for God's nudging. Certainly Philip was. We need to be available too. The Ethiopian was what we would call a seeker today. He was a man who was very successful, but there was something missing in his life. There are those people today, outwardly they look like they are in need of nothing. Everything is perfect in their life, but inwardly it's not. They need something, they lack something. And if we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will not have someone who is difficult to reach. They are seeking, and we will likely find an open door. And so at just the right time, God sent Philip to cross the path of this man. And in verse 30 we read, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet." "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "Well, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so Philip approached the Ethiopian. He asked him a simple, non-threatening question. I think we'd probably, if we put it in Texan or in everyday language, everyday English, we might say, "Well, is it all making sense to you?" Something like that. And then Philip let the Ethiopian talk. Or maybe more importantly, he listened to the Ethiopian's response. Philip understood that sharing your faith is not a confrontation. It's communication. It's conversation. Listen, it's not an argument. No need to shout. We don't need to do all the talking. Telling the story involves give and take. You know, we're not authorities. We're learners too. Disciple means student. We're students too. But primarily, we need to let God's Word do the talking. It's not a sales pitch here. You know, we don't have a message to sell. We have a story to tell. And again, it's not like we're forcing a square peg into a round hole. We don't have to force anything. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are led to a person who's ready to listen, as this Ethiopian was. So that's the first principle. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then here's a second principle we need to learn from Acts chapter 8. Tell them about Jesus. Who is our Savior? Jesus. Who is the hope of all the ages? Jesus. Who died for the sins of the whole world? Jesus. Who is the focus of the Christian faith? Jesus. Who's the creator of all the universe? Jesus. Who's our ultimate judge? Jesus. And in Acts 8:35 we read, "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture in Isaiah," by the way, "and told him the good news about Jesus." Here's where the church drops the ball sometimes. We talk about other issues. There may be good issues sometimes in the right situation. We'll talk about culture. We'll talk about social issues. We'll talk about family values. We'll talk about abortion. We'll talk about other things. But we don't talk about Jesus. I've heard about, in fact, a church here in town one time advertised a gospel meeting. And I looked at the topics they were dealing with and what they advertised at a gospel meeting. And one of the things they were talking about on a certain night dealt with a modest apparel. Well, for one thing, that's false advertising. That's not gospel. That may be an issue that needs to be talked about in some setting, but that's not the gospel message according to the biblical definition by any stretch of the imagination. Our commission remains, tell the story about the risen Lord. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying, Paul said, that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And here's a statement that I love that Paul said, of whom I am the worst. And I think if we keep that in mind as we go about telling the story, we will have ready acceptance as we communicate the story. If we keep in mind as we tell the story, we're going to tell the story about Jesus who came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the number one sinner right here. We should never be condescending. We should never appear like we are the authority. We are as in much need of God's grace as anybody. In fact, we may need it more than anybody. Our story is, if He can save me, He can save you. Because I'm as big a sinner, maybe bigger than anybody around. So that's principle number two from Acts chapter 8. Tell them about Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And don't get sidetracked with any other issue by any means. There are many issues that are superficial. They are fringe issues. Stay on Jesus. And then this is a big one. Number three in Acts chapter 8. We read about it in verse 36 and 37. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What's important about this? The Ethiopian made the decision. Notice it wasn't Philip who said, "I think you need to be baptized." It wasn't Philip who said, "Now listen here, buddy, you need to be baptized." No. Philip just taught him about Jesus from the book of Isaiah, and the Ethiopian made the decision. In fact, Philip hesitated. He put a qualifier on the response that the eunuch had made. Philip, in essence, said, "There's no point in you being baptized unless you believe with all of your heart." And the Ethiopian assured Philip that he was serious, but it was his decision. Philip didn't push him at all. The point is, and this is a very important point, it must be their personal decision. We cannot make it for them. If they don't make the decision, then we simply leave as friends. We leave as friends for life. Friends for life. Don't bully them. Don't hard sell them. Love them as you did before, as the Lord still loves them. Our mandate is simply to tell the story. Tell the story. Genuinely, lovingly. In fact, Peter says it best. over in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Whether or not they obey the gospel. Whether or not they obey the gospel. This is my words, not Peter. Whether or not they obey the gospel. Leave that door open, whatever you do. Leave those communication lines up. Because things change with life. Circumstances change with that person. Now it's true, their heart may become more hardened over time. But equally true, doors may open that were once more closed. And they may be more open to what the Bible said in the future than they are now. So whatever you do, leave on good terms, but always be ready to tell the story. That's the only thing the Lord has commissioned us to do. Tell the story. He didn't tell us to make them obey. He didn't tell us to baptize them. He just told us to tell the story. We can do that, can't we? The greatest story ever told. Let's do it. Let's do it.